Metallica. It's approximately 10 minutes after 11 on Thursday, October 10th, 2013. We're meeting for a work session on case number PU12-683, a proposed Hess Corporation 14-inch crude oil pipeline in Williams County. A while back, we had the hearing. So, Julie, do you have any opening comments?
I don't have opening comments.
Okay. I think what we'll do just for, I know you're busy out there too, but we could just, Pat has the draft order, and we could just kind of go through it if you want, or if there's any particular concerns you had, we could go right to those. I remember the hearing myself, and I had one area of concern I talked to Pat about, and it's in the order, so I really don't have any concerns at all about this project.
Yeah, the only concerns I had were relating to, there was one citizen who spoke up at the end about some drainage issues, if I'm remembering that correctly. But otherwise, I'm comfortable just kind of working through the order, and then we can talk after that.
Okay. Pat, do you recall the drainage issues? Wasn't it dealing with more the rail facility itself, the drainage, and it wasn't the pipeline? That's the way I remember it. I don't. How do you remember it, Julie?
I think it was one of the pumping stations up right near Tioga.
He was. I'm trying to just go.
And it may have been the rail terminal. It may have been, you know, related to that. But yes, I just interested in knowing if we heard anything more, if we talked to the company about that, and it's unrelated to this project, or, you know, what came of those concerns in the aftermath of the hearing.
I thought that that person was concerned about how they could get to a location where they could shut down the pipeline if they needed to because of the water that was setting. Does that sound familiar?
He thought there was, from an operational standpoint, maybe it was a shutoff valve was located in an area that isn't draining properly and collecting water.
And that is our fallback, of course, is that it is an operational issue, a pipeline safety issue, and they have to comply with the pipeline safety regulations in operating their pipeline. I mean, that's like pass the buck kind of thinking, but it is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the company had resolved one of their answers. I thought they had resolved that issue anyway. And so I dismissed it, really.
Okay.
In my head.
Well, I can follow up in the record more, and maybe we can just close that loop and find out exactly what the company said was the response to that issue. I don't remember them being able to address it at the hearing, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, we can check on that.
Okay. Well, maybe let's just, if it's okay with you, Julie, we'll just kind of go page by page here. The first page, and Pat, do you want to take the lead going through this? You want me to?
Whichever you choose.
All right, since I'm already yakking. Page one, I didn't have any particular concerns. I thought it was all pretty standard. Julie, I'll ask.
Yep.
If I don't hear anything after the long pause, I'll move on, okay?
Okay, I'll try to let you know I have no concerns.
Okay. Page two, also very boilerplate. All the information seems to be correct.
Agreed.
Page three, findings of fact. The only question that I had, Julie, prior to you jumping the line was number six. I wanted to make sure they had that bullet under that sentence, the design, construction, operation of the crude oil pipeline must be in accordance with USDOT regs, kind of actually even going back to some of your concerns. I had some concerns about pipeline depth, but that would accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I once again thought this page was good.
Yeah, looks fine.
Okay, page four.
on page 4, you will see something in gray, some language in gray. I didn't know if you wanted to say that.
On number 6, or wait, yeah. Number 9, it should be marked.
But yeah, these numbers are all goofy, but if you look at the highlighting there, I don't know if we want to go to that kind of a statement.
Typically, I think we would leave those kind of things out that are subjective, wouldn't we? Now you're talking the fifth line down, which Hess states would result in a shutdown of the plant and a flaring of natural gas.
In the proposed order, that is the language. In the proposed order, it was in there more as a finding of fact. I added the word states, and they just said which would result in, kind of a factual, like it was a factual thing. And then I just added the word which Hess states would result in. So it's possible to put it in, but I don't know if you want to go there at all.
I'm indifferent on that, Julie. Whatever you think is fine.
Well, I do think it points to the whole idea behind this number is to talk about the alternatives and the weaknesses of the alternatives. And so trucking this, here's a weakness, which is a pretty big weakness. So I guess I'm not opposed to leaving it in there.
The other thing that I didn't know, John Morrison's in the room, so he might be able to help me out here, but it refers to the plant that would be shut down, a plant, and there's nothing yet that I saw in the draft that he sent us, even that identifies what the plant is. Do you?
That's a good point. We don't say that this
plant?
Feeds that provides gas to this plant. We don't say that.
We just in talk about the truck terminal and the rail terminal in previous sections. We don't talk about a plant otherwise.
All right.
That I remember. I don't even know if it's in the application.
It might be best to delete it. I mean, it's a little convoluted. Part of the crude oils are the plant liquids that are delivered to Ramberg, and it's delivered to plant liquids, but it gets a little convoluted.
Probably have John talking to Mike since I can't hear him.
Okay. Sorry, Commissioner.
Turn it and make sure.
It might be best.
Turn that on to green.
There you go.
There. It might be best to just delete it. I don't know that substantively it adds a lot to the order. This pipeline is a crude oil pipeline, but part of those crude oils will be the plant liquids. And, it's a little far removed to start saying those plant liquids have to go to Ramberg and then have to move. And if the plant liquids don't move, then the plant gets shut in. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think it is a real concern. I don't know that it's necessary in the order, and maybe it's best to delete it.
Sounds good.
So that sentence would just say trucks transportation could be subject to disruptions.
Okay. And then pick up again with another alternative consists of?
Yep.
Okay. All right, that fine with you, Jules?
It is.
Okay. Okay, so going down page 4, citing criteria. We received a letter back from the SHPO.
There, when you get down to the bottom, there's a 10 and 11 at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed order that came from I guess, was it from you? Okay. Wasn't real specific about, for example, number 11 there. I went into the natural resource study and pulled some stuff out of that, so we could at least identify what's in the corridor or in the study area or survey area. So, like for example, number 10, it says the study area had some wildlife areas in it. Number 11 says the survey area had 6 PEM wetlands. Just for future reference, if they decide that they want to build something in the corridor, we have a little bit of knowledge summarized in this order about what's there.
Where are you proposing to add those, Pat?
They are at the bottom of page 4.
But there's already a tent. All the numbering is goofed up there.
Yep, the numbering. Please try to ignore the numbering at this time because I didn't get that all squared away yet.
Okay.
Just it's Wait. The two at the bottom of page 4, the two items.
I see.
Yeah, you added those in, right, Pat? Those are yours.
They had it. John had it in his proposed order. I just gave it more detail.
Okay.
And more specifics.
I'm fine with that, Julie.
Yep.
Okay. You know, we're on page 4 now, but can we jump back to the very first page? I just thought of something I wanted to ask Pat about. Is that in the very first page, we talk about how the criteria for pipelines, and then it says Hess proposes to convert 3 existing crude oil pipelines. But I didn't know if we should add something in there about what changed that now these had to be sited so we can kind of close the loop on that.
We do have that.
Where's that at then?
Okay. When you get to the findings of fact.
Okay. All right, if it's in the findings of fact, we can get to it then. All right. Okay, so where are we at?
4 and 5.
Findings of fact.
On page 3. So Hess constructed it to transport crude from the gathering system to the TRT, and then the pipe that was used is there. And the Hess states that the line is currently a gathering line because no pressure.
Okay, perfect.
And then Hess now proposes to add pumps and utilize the pipeline as a transmission pipeline.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, Pat. Sorry about that, Joel, for going back.
All right.
Okay, so we're on to page 5?
I'm there.
Okay.
I make a statement in here that you might want to think about a little bit, I guess, but when I talk about the selection criteria and the policy criteria, I state that since the pipeline's already been constructed, these criteria aren't applicable. I guess I couldn't think of how they would be applicable at this time, but I don't know if you think of anything that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that makes sense to me. It's
okay.
I'm trying to think. We did this one. This is not the first time we've done this, but would you, and I'm not saying I'm against this by any means, but I wonder if it'd be something you could add in there that it transmission shall be, it demonstrates that it, the continued operation will not cause significant impacts. I don't know. It's just a happy to glad. Because if we found a pipeline,
kind of the what I, we may have differences on what we think that we're doing in siting. As far as to me, it's like all about location. You pick the location that causes the minimal impacts.
Make sure to talk loud so Jules can hear.
you know that we're picking a location that will cause that will have the least impact or minimize the impact.
Right.
We're not really inciting saying that continued operation. We're not so much worried about continued operation.
Because that's a PHMSA jurisdiction, you mean, or what?
Yes, primarily.
Okay.
But continued operation that would have environmental impact.
Okay.
What we're doing is, in theory, in my mind, is choosing a location.
Okay. All right, I'm fine with that, Pat. We're now joined by the esteemed Honorable Commissioner Randall Christman. We're on page,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Page 5 of the proposed draft order. Okay, so mitigations to minimize impact, are we there? Pat? Okay.
Yes. Oh, just a little bit more on what I was just saying.
Okay.
If there are impacts because of continued operation, then we, I believe, have authority to, you know, work with the company to resolve them and to mitigate them. But
gotcha. But that's a separate line item. Okay. All right, so mitigations to minimize impact. I did have a question about the contradictory statement, perhaps. Of number 12 says, no mitigation of construction activities is required since no ground disturbing. I get that. And then for 15, Hess has agreed to do a number of steps to mitigate the impact of the project. So don't those contradict each other?
One of them is about construction activities. Number 12 is about construction activities.
Right.
Number 15 is about a lot of other mitigation. And this is one of those things where this is number 15 is a standard phrase in our orders when we're talking about a new project or
okay.
a project that hasn't been constructed yet. They did sign the certification. But okay. If you wanted to change this to somehow relate to the fact that it's an existing...
Well, no, I think Hess has agreed to a number of post-construction steps, just to kind of clean those two up, just to separate the two. I don't know. That's a happy to glad, but... Because we're going to hold them accountable to a tree and shrub mitigation plan?
All we're saying is that they signed it.
Okay.
That's the intent of that.
All right, fair enough.
And if there is something that we learn about tree and shrub, well, that's a good question. One of the things in the Natural Resources Report was that, let's see, did I have that in here? I'm sure I did. Let's see. Right, on the bottom of page 4 and going into page 5, I guess at the top of 5, the Natural Resources Survey recorded 7 woody vegetation assemblages in the survey area on segment C and noted that it is likely that each woody vegetation assemblage was completely removed during construction. In segments E and B, the Natural Resources Survey recorded 3 planted and 4 naturally occurring assemblages in the survey area. Now, if they say in their tree, and they say that they've signed on to the certification and that they will comply with the tree and shrub mitigation specifications. So I'm thinking the company will file something, you know, like a mitigation plan, since they've identified that they have affected some trees and shrubs.
Okay. I'm fine if you just add post-construction mitigation and call it good. Any thoughts, Julie, on that?
Would you put that on number 15 or number 12?
On 15.
Except that if they did impact some trees and shrubs during construction, it wouldn't be post-construction.
Then maybe...
post-siting? How about post-siting?
Number 12 should be no additional mitigation of... Well, maybe it should be added up there, outside of post-construction tree mitigation, no additional mitigation activities will be required since there are no ground disturbing activities outside of the company, you know, and then just take out number 15.
I think we can maybe fix 12 because really what 12 is trying to, what they're trying to say there is that we're going to put in 2 valves and some pumps. And so there won't be any construction activity. There will not be ground disturbing activities. and therefore we don't have to have any mitigation of construction activities. Now, maybe that number 12 could be worded differently. That's what's intended there, if I remember. I'm sure John remembers it.
Some removal of trees or shrubs in connection with the installation of the two pumps, they would have to be replaced in accordance with the mitigation, with the stipulation or the certification that's been signed. I am nervous about coming in and saying when you take an existing pipeline, convert it to a use that's a certificated use, and now it needs a certificate, you're going to require replacement trees and shrubs in accordance with the plan on activities that may have taken place 20 years ago where there was no survey done to know exactly how many trees. I forget what your plan says, but isn't it trees in excess of 1.5-inch diameter? I mean, there are limitations, and if you don't know what they are, how can you come back in and replace them on a 2-to-1 segment? I mean, I think you have to have a voice of reason, and new construction activities may require mitigation, but things that have already happened in the past when it was a non-jurisdictional line, it seems to be stretching a bit to go back in and say you have to come back in and retroactively take care of that.
How about the certification document that was signed?
It speaks in the future tense. Right?
It might, yeah.
Pat, the whole tree and shrub mitigation plan, is that a rule in the commission? Because I know the previous commissions, we talked about scrapping the whole tree and shrub mitigation plan, and that we never did anything with it, but we did talk about that.
It's not a rule. It's not in our rules.
Where do we get the authority from? We just decided to do it way back when, and we've never. It's not a law that says we have to do this, correct?
The only thing that I could, as a basis, I give you is that we are concerned about environmental impact,
right,
and mitigation of environmental impact. So if you, I think the trees fall in that category.
But didn't somewhere in a previous commission someone say we should start replanting trees, and then it evolved to what we have today?
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at for Julian Randy is that we could just take out paragraph 15 if we chose to in this particular case, because there's nothing that says we have to do that if we just applied the meter of it's already been in the ground for 20 years.
From a historical standpoint, what happened was the commission staff used to recommend certain provisions in every order, and at every hearing there would be a list of 20 or 25 questions that the witness would be asked, will you do this, will you do that, will you do this, and that laid the foundation for provisions in each individual order. They went to the certification to avoid going through that, and I agree it makes sense to cut the process short where you can, but you do end up in this situation where you have circumstances that maybe aren't factually the same, and it becomes habit. Well, we always use a certification, so we'll use it, but it's not directly applicable to the situation where the pipeline has been in place for a number of years. But that's just historically how it came about.
So, Pat, what your concern is that the company signed a certification that says they're going to do it, and so now what do? We either change the certification or they have to do it.
Well, and then normally what we tell a company is that if they have issues with some of the provisions in the certification, that they sign the certification, but at the hearing talk to the commission about those provisions. And because it used to be like it was just described, that used to be we would sit and ask all these questions and get answers.
Right.
And now we just prepared this certification related to order provisions to take care of all that time. And we're saying, okay, company, if you have issues with it, bring it up at the hearing. And in this case, it wasn't. There wasn't anything said about the certification.
Can we not hold them to what they certified, even though they didn't talk about it at the hearing? We can, right?
Well, by not enforcing it, you mean?
No, just by not in. They sign the certification. We could put in there a statement saying that since this is a siting of a pipeline currently in place, we do not feel that you need to comply with the certification of tree and shrub mitigation.
Yeah, you could do that. Do you want to say that about everything that's in here?
I'm just talking about the tree and shrubs.
Just the tree and shrub. Okay.
You know, in all honesty, I'm not sure it's a problem. I do have the mitigation specifications, and it does say trees and shrubs anticipated to be cleared. I mean, in other words, everything speaks in the future tense about activities that will occur. And so I don't think we have a problem saying that these specifications apply to the extent trees and shrubs will be cleared in connection with what construction activities remain to be done, which is installation of the two pump stations, which are both on existing facilities where we know there are no trees or shrubs anyway. But I mean, it makes sense when you're undertaking new construction activities. If you're going to remove new trees in that process, you should comply. And I don't think the tree and shrub mitigation specifications really require you to go back retroactively and address trees and shrubs that already were cleared. I don't know, Pat, if you agree, but everything is in terms of anticipated to be cleared.
The purpose of that is to identify the trees you anticipate clearing and then later on identify the ones that you actually cleared. That's what that inventory is about. That's what it's saying.
No, but you can't apply the replacement criteria if you don't have the inventory, and you don't have the inventory if the trees and shrubs aren't there to inventory anymore.
I agree.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Randy.
I don't know what the process is to doing it, but, you know, you have standards for things that you're going to do. That doesn't mean you have the same standards for things that were done a long time ago. And there's no inventory here. I think we want it to be clear that anything that gets, I think I want it to be clear that anything that gets disturbed in adding the pumps and any new facilities, we follow the normal process. And what happened years ago, and it's not my intention that those should all have to be guessed at and then replaced based upon a guess.
Okay.
All right, Pat, so can you clean that up with Mitch and double-check on it? Just figure the language out, just what Randy said. And if that's okay with you, Julie?
It's easy enough to take the tree and shrub language out.
Yeah, okay.
But we want it for anything that
going forward
new.
Okay, I'll have to think about that one. But I understand what you're saying.
Okay. All right. Okay, and I just, it's always dangerous when you ask someone to come give you your thoughts. I don't want to open up the hearing again here to either. So I'll just, we do get to a point where if it gets to be back and forth with the company and staff, that's not the intent of this, I don't think. So, all right. Okay, anything else in mitigation to minimize impact, Julie or Randy?
I don't either.
Okay. Conclusions of law. Page 6. Maybe number 4, does that affect anything? You may have to tweak that ordering, number 4. Certificate related to order provisions, transmission, tree and shrubs, best. Yeah. Just make sure they all make sense, Pat.
Sure. Yeah, again, related to the tree and shrub issues.
Yeah, yep. So I'm just saying. Okay. Pat, I had one follow-up that I didn't see that on page number 4. A solicitation was sent, top of the page, number 8, to the State Historical Society, Game and Fish, Parks and Rec, Trust Lands, so on and so forth. How do we close out that they never responded or they did respond? Like we say, the SHPO came back and said they were fine, but by them not sending something back, does that mean they concur? Or how do we close that out? It's not just unique to this case.
No, it isn't. It's an issue in every one of these cases. What we want to do, what we want to do is indicate the agencies that they've contacted. If okay. any of those agencies has an issue, then we would spell that out in the order.
Okay, I think we remember talking about this now. So kind of by default, if they don't respond back, we assume they have no issues. And that's a always a gray area. Okay, I'm fine with that.
And, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife is, I don't know if you want that in every one of your orders, but they have their issue, they have their standard letter.
Well, did they respond with the letter?
I believe so.
Well, that's what I mean. If they did respond with the letter, shouldn't we put it in there, what they said? Even if they don't respond, okay, fine, but if they do respond, shouldn't we say they responded and what they said?
Let's see. I got it here somewhere. Consultations. They have a 3.5-page letter.
Where is that at?
That's under the Appendix C.
So they have a 3.5-page letter, but basically I would guess it would say they either agree or they don't agree, or they have no... I mean, there must be something that we could glean out of that. It's interesting to have a 3.5-page letter from a pipeline in the ground. And we can't get the response on other stuff.
It's a it's their standard letter. That they send out on all projects, I think.
So
once in a while, once in a while they tweak the letter a little bit, but it doesn't look like they did in this situation.
So what does the gist of the letter say?
Threatened and endangered and candidate species. They kind of name them, and then they say the proposed project lies within a corridor that includes 75% of all reported whooping crane sightings. And then it says, Hess is committed to implementing a measure here. Let's see once. Okay, service recommends that if a whooping crane is sighted within 1 mile of the pipe of the project, Service recommends that if a whooping crane is sighted within 1 mile of the pipeline while it is under construction.
Okay.
That all work cease within 1 mile of that part of the project.
Okay, so you could put a fine in there that U.S. Fish and Wildlife responded with concerns about construction activities. The pipeline is already in the ground, therefore something. Just if an agency responds back to us, I think should put something in there that they did respond to us.
And then there's something on migratory birds also, and there's something on, migratory birds. Schedule the construction for late summer or fall or early winter so as not to disrupt migratory birds during the breeding season. And then if work is to take place during the breeding season, then there's a recommendation for that.
Are we required by law to follow what they say? If we said, as long as a whooping crane is at least 3/4 of a mile away, don't worry about it.
We're not required by law to follow. These are recommendations, is my understanding.
Well, then I'm thinking it might be a little dangerous to start just, as a normal course of business, assessing these long letters that they send back as just a form, because I suppose then whatever little part we don't acknowledge in our assessment, unless we print it word for word in the order, someone will say, well, you didn't interpret it correctly.
And the way we
sent it to them, and then we made a decision. Yeah. And if they wanted to comment, we waited in our decision. If they didn't choose to comment, obviously we didn't.
But they did comment in the letter. I mean, I'm open to any discussion, but we're not required by law to follow what the SHPO says either. We're not required by law to follow any of these guys, but we're using their expertise to help us make the no impact finding.
How about if we added that responses were received from and list them.
Okay.
And just so it's clear that we got responses and we took that into consideration. Would that suffice?
I guess I'm not looking.
I like that. I think it's better to just, I mean, if we want to acknowledge, I kind of like Pat's approach, which was to only comment if they had something, you know, specific that they required, or, you know, what was your process, Pat?
Right. If there was a requirement here, or if there was something the commission saw in the recommendation that we would like the company to do, we would put that in the order.
Right.
Okay. No, I'm fine. We'll just leave it the way it is, but I did want to talk it through a little bit, though, because, you know, to Randy's question, I mean, we're not required to do what any of these agencies say. We're our own body. But I think it'd be irresponsible if we don't follow their recommendations unless we can show why we're not going to, just to have this discussion. I mean, we don't have to do it.
I think it's a good discussion, but I do think it's probably...
Okay.
I like the procedure of if we make some particular requirement based on their recommendations, that we note that in the order. But if it's general practices and procedures, I think we should just...
Okay, I'm okay with that. So then we'll assume that if we don't have something in the order from staff, that'll mean that either the agency didn't respond or the response did not ask for anything particular of the company.
Yeah. Not
particularly unusual.
Unusual of the company.
Normal, routine.
Okay, that's fine.
We ask at the hearings, we ask the company what they're planning to do on some of these things. We'll ask. And then, you know, if we think that, sometimes what we've said is the company agrees to comply with all the requirements that U.S. Fish and Wildlife has recommended. We've said that in the past, too.
Okay.
In this situation, I don't think we asked questions about...
No, we didn't, because it was already in the ground and we didn't have those I didn't have those concerns. All right. I'm fine where it's at, Pat. So I don't have any other questions about the order, concerns. Julie, do you have anything that you have that we hadn't hit on?
No, just one typo on the first page I noticed.
Okay.
Like the middle of the last paragraph. Hess proposes to convert three existing crude oil gathering pipeline segments into a single transmission pipeline, which will, I think, transport, needs to be added, crude from the Ramberg Trust facility.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. All right, Commissioner Crispin, you missed the first part of our discussion. We kind of went through the first few pages. Did you have any follow-up questions?
No, I did not.
Okay. Jules, this is your portfolio. Do you have any other concerns? Are we ready to bring this up in a couple weeks?
I think so. I don't have any additional concerns.
Okay, so all we got to do is Pat's going to tweak that one blurb about the tree and shrub thing. Is there anything else that we're missing that you want to tweak, that we have to tweak?
For the public comment on the operation of the valve because of the water drainage area.
Okay, public comment and the valve. All right. So you'll just staff that back out, and if we have any concerns, we'll ask for a work session. Otherwise, vote on it. That sound reasonable, Jules?
Works great.
Okay. Mr. Crispin?
No other comments.
All right. Going once, going twice. Commissioner Fedorchak?
No, nothing for me.
Randy? Going once, going twice?
Good opportunity to take a lot of trucks off the road.
Excellent. All right, we'll close the work session on case number PU 12-683. Thank you.